With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. My name's David Reed, and I'm joined, as ever, by Mr. Marek Larwood. Hello, Marek, how are you?
Hello, David, all right, thank you.
Good.
Welcome, listeners, to the most comprehensive and well-researched podcast recorded in North London.
Next door to some teenage girls playing their music fairly loud. I don't know if our listeners can hear that, as the recorder is pointed in the opposite direction.
We can't really hear it. It's just enough to distract you
and your train
slightly
of thought.
Ruin your life.
Yeah.
And just gradually creeping it over your consciousness slowly more and more until you just have an overwhelming anger. And all the other things you're angry about sort of mass together, like, you know, when you have a magnet and it attracts all the sort of...
Iron filings.
Yeah.
To make a beard.
Yeah. But that with anger.
With an anger beard.
It's all the seeds of anger in your mind united by the dull, thudding bass of thoughtless teenagers.
That speech will one day be put over a beat in somebody's
drummer
bass single, yeah.
Someone will probably do that.
Well, we're going to talk about current releases and some other things we've watched this week. Marek's been to the cinema, as per usual. Marek's quite quick on the draw, you see. We try to share out the current releases so that we could both go and see the same film so we can actually discuss it. That would be a strategy, but it just means that then we have to see twice as many films, you see. It's quite difficult. But I wanted to go see Arrival this week, but Marek went to see it faster than me. So you went... Arrival. I mean, it was quite an interesting publicity campaign of all of those giant Pringles appearing across the world, wasn't it?
Is that what they did for the publicity campaign?
You know, those big stone things. They look like Pringles.
They look very much like...
Or a diaphragm.
The things from Asterix, the obelisk in...
Menhir.
Yeah, Menhir.
The Menhir.
That obelisk carried in Asterix and obelisk.
Yeah, he was a Menhir salesman, wasn't he?
And what do they mean in Menhirs?
Menhirs, they're standing stones, so sort of pagan symbols. That's right, buddy. There's fields of them in France from those times.
Like a crap Stonehenge.
And if you put four of them together, you make a dolmen. There you go.
How do you know this?
I was big into Asterix.
A dolmen. What does a dolmen do?
It just sits there like all standing stones, but a dolmen's 3 points then with a flat stone on top. So Stonehenge is a bit like this sort of stuff.
What about if you put 12 of them together?
12 of them?
Yeah.
I don't know.
A bit like champagne bottle size, isn't it?
It is a bit.
Buddy's a bit upset about a dog in the background, is he?
He is, I'm afraid. So I'm going to have to squish his head.
Squish your head. Arrival.
Arrival. Now, it's the second film in a week to star Amy Adams, right?
She's
everywhere right now.
Yeah.
She's like the new Michael Fassbender.
That's odd that happens. They must take about 6 months to film each one, so...
But then they can sit on them for months until, you know, the correct time to release it.
This is sort of the start of the good film time, isn't it, I suppose? You've got November through to... This is the Oscar.
You've got your big
season.
Christmas film that they're hoping everyone will go out and see with their families rather than talk to them.
And
is Rogue One this year.
And then Oscars is late December, January.
Yeah.
And around now. And this is mentioned by... So, arrive, I'll tell you what happens. Aliens arrive.
Right.
In these odd rectangular blobs at 12 locations across the Earth. It's not...
What are those... are any of those locations in America?
Yes, one of them is in America, in Montana, which is the base, which is where this... So, Amy Adams is a linguist brought along to try and communicate with these aliens.
A bit like Daniel in Stargate, who's the one who can read their writing. That's the...
Yeah, it's one of those geniuses.
More sort of sensitive to feelings and shit.
Yeah, you could say that. And her partner is Jeremy Renner.
Oh, is he in it?
So you hate Jeremy Renner, don't you?
I don't hate him. Every time he comes up,
you just think, oh, Jeremy Renner.
I don't know. I just... He seems like an actor's drunk mate.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? He's just like, he was there at the meetings. Nobody asked who he was, so he got a part.
He's sort of the fourth person on every list where everyone's busy and they go,
Can Matt Damon do it? No, we can't get Matt Damon. What about Matthew McConaughey? He's not available, I'm afraid. Oh,
Jeremy Renner.
Well, it's going to have to be, isn't it?
If there weren't as many films, Jeremy Renner would never get work. He's sort of got this odd charisma, but it's not really enough.
It was sort of just enough in The Hurt Locker when the script implied that his slight dickishness might be due to hiding a deep inner pain. But if the script doesn't have that deep inner pain, he's just a dick.
Yeah, he is the perfect cross between Matt Damon and Jason Bateman.
Okay, yep. Yeah.
If you were to merge those two,
yeah.
So you want a sort of comedy-ish person, but sort of softer action man.
Yeah.
You can't get either of those. Jeremy Renner is in the middle ground, and he's not particularly funny or not particularly good at action.
No.
Poor Jeremy Renner.
Poor Jimmy Bobo.
Anyway, his parts are a little bit nothingy. It's just, well, I've read some people have gone mental for this film, saying it's the best film they've ever seen. I saw on Facebook, which I was unfortunate to read, some people saying they're really moved by it. It's not your normal thriller. It's more about trying to sort of find some sort of meaning behind life, really, which is what the aliens, turns out, they're trying to teach us. But someone commented on a Facebook thread I read, which I thought was very interesting, that it was very similar to Interstellar.
Okay.
And it is a bit like Interstellar, where you feel it's dealing with some sort of higher powered knowledge.
Multidimensional beings.
Yes. But it's slightly confused, so you don't really ever...
Contact is the first of these films.
Oh, really? Weapons in Contact.
Contact is when aliens make contact with Jodie Foster. And it's just about what they want and what they mean and who should go to make contact with them. And she's adamant it should be her. And Matthew McConaughey says... But you can't go, you don't believe in God. And the majority of people on Earth believe in some kind of God, so you're not the right person. And
who would you pick?
That gets a bit annoying.
Who would you pick to go and meet the aliens?
Who would I pick? Michael Palin.
Michael Palin?
Yeah, he'd be quite good, wouldn't he?
I think he would be good.
Yeah.
Michael Palin, and then a news reader...
like a current one?
Well, like Kate Adie would be quite good.
She's quite busy reading the news.
Kate Adie is a journalist and she's retired, isn't she?
Oh, is she retired now?
Yeah, Kate Adie.
What about Moira Stewart? She'd be good to meet the aliens.
No.
Okay, why not?
Where's the music coming from now? Next door?
Yeah, they've just put it up a bit.
Apologies to that listeners. Well, Amy Adams and Jeremy Renner are picked to meet the aliens. And it's mainly...
Terrible choices.
It's mainly about Amy Adams and her conflict and... Her sort of, it's all about time really, and she's sort of experiencing these things, and you're not sure when they happened, or the story, the narrative, isn't necessarily in the order you think it is.
Right.
Which is a sort of, not really a spoiler, but that's sort of the crux of the story, what makes it interesting.
Okay.
I would say that this is well produced, well shot, well acted. It's a good film. Really, not that much happens in it. I'm not convinced that it's really, the plot is more than a short story. And I think it's probably based on, I think it's based on a short story. The director's a bloke called Denis Villeneuve, who...
I've heard of him.
Yeah, he also directed Sicario, which I thought was very disappointing.
Sicario, sorry. Yeah. No, so did I. I thought, again, incredibly stylistically done, like really good, and the sort of tension and action holds, but the story itself I thought was bollocks.
Yeah.
I thought it had some serious flaws in it, that it's just like your protagonist doesn't do anything, ever.
You just feel slightly disappointed in the whole thing.
Yes. It's not about the person you're following. The more interesting characters are the other ones. And that's weird.
And Prisoners, which I really enjoyed.
I thought it was flawed again, though. Yeah. It had some problems with its story. Again, like, really well told, good cast, you know.
I think it's the same thing. I think he directs these films that are, they give you that same feeling that you often have when you watch films. Like, oh, this is going to be really, really good. But never really lives up to his expectations. Like a child genius who becomes a drug addict in later life.
I thought Prisoners pulled its punches a bit. Like,
really?
Yeah, like when Hugh Jackman... Spoilers here, people, if you've not seen Prisoners. Where Hugh Jackman does some pretty despicable things from which there is no turning back. You are a man who has done these things.
Yeah.
And the film sort of excuses him by the end because he was worried about his kid, you know? And it's like, no, you can't... He doesn't get his redemption at the end. That is not... You don't get that. It seems like it's trying to go, yeah, but it's Hugh Jackman, so let's give him a free pass, yeah?
It's almost like you kidnap my kid, you can do anything.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. To complete strangers you have no evidence about.
Yeah. It's as if, oh, no, so you've stolen my sandwiches, I'm allowed to burn down your house.
No, I think you've stolen my sandwiches, so I'm allowed to burn down your house. That's the thing.
Well, that's not, what's in the sandwiches?
Well, it's sauerkraut and bologna.
And how long did they take to make?
It took a good 8 to 9 minutes to make them.
And how hungry was I?
Yeah, I mean, pretty damn hungry.
And they were the last bit of food I had in the fridge as well.
The last bit of food.
So we'll go all the way to the shop to get...
And you did write your name on it as well, so...
Really?
Yeah. But you don't have any evidence that he took them, so...
Well, but he looks like someone who's eating my sandwiches.
Exactly, he does look exactly the type.
He's got food round his mouth.
Yeah, sauerkraut and bologna.
And he's the only person who hasn't gone out for lunch.
So what would you do? Put him in a box you've built yourself and then just steam him to death?
Yeah. I'll teach him. Oh, poor old Hugh Jackman.
Have you seen the trailer for Logan?
That's the new Wolverine.
The last of the Wolverine films. But finally, this one actually looks like it might be good. Because they've pared it all down. It doesn't seem to be part of any continuity with any of the others. It's just him... as an old man, now with his, you know, scars and everything, and Professor X now has Alzheimer's, and it's sort of like a small independent action film, and they've gone full R-rated as well, which, finally, for a character who has metal claws coming out of his hands...
Yeah.
It's an R-rated film you need to do with that, right?
It's, I mean, a bit like the
he's not stroking those guards to sleep. I mean, that's not what he's doing in the other films.
A bit like the episode of EastEnders. I'm quoting from 25 years ago.
Okay.
When Dot, who's the old lady, and Ethel, they just had a whole episode of them two reminiscing in the hat.
It's nicer, isn't it? It's good. Does Dot have claws that retract from her fists?
She smokes cigarettes. She's got.
She has three cigarettes that come out of each fist.
Yeah. Anyway, we should get back to Arrival.
Okay.
It's one of those films, much like Interstellar, where you walk out of it and you think, oh, it feels like it was good, but I'm not totally convinced that it wasn't just pressing all the buttons that a good filmmaker knows how to make.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to try and make you cry at this thing. I'm going to have this revelation. When in those talent contests, when they play the sad music in the background,
Is it?
Am I sad? Or is it just the music in the background? Yeah. I felt a touch manipulated by the filmmaking.
Okay.
I think it's worth a second watch for me to really tell if it's that good. But the problem being is I don't think there's enough in there if it came on for me to say, oh, that I'll watch that
Okay.
again.
Okay.
Arrival, I give it 7 Mariks. Interesting enough, on IMDb, it's got 8.4, and it was currently 99th in the top 100 films.
No.
Yes.
But I have to watch it now.
Yeah, well, unless it... I expect it'll drop out.
Yeah, there'll be a backlash, won't they? The Arrival backlash.
I've started.
You've started the backlash?
Yeah.
The backlash starts here.
A quite good film. It's 7. Maybe if you want some meaning to your life, you might give it an 8. Alright?
Alright. I think it's time for this.
Some people like writing letters, we like reading them out.
This is a letter from Tyler Rundy. On the subject of Arrival, he says, "Hello, film fan diddlers. Arrival is intelligent sci-fi, beautifully shot with a tight script. My wife and I were quite blown away. The guy next to me couldn't have been more bored, I suppose." Maybe it was you. He was restless like a child waiting in the doctor's office. Oh. "So I'm sure it's too slow for some, but the pace just allowed me to drink in every moment." Not just allowed me to drink. "This is a procedural sci-fi at its best. My second 10 out of 10 Tylers of the year. I'll ask you, what do you look for in good science fiction? My favourites are given plenty of time to tease out either a philosophy and or a good monster. Keep watching the films, Tyler." So, different opinion on... slightly. You did
enjoy
it.
I thought it was really good. Yeah, it was a good film.
What do we look for in good sci-fi? The thing is, there's quite a few genres I enjoy that you within the sci-fi bracket, you know.
I think sci-fi is so huge.
Yeah. I mean, some of it is basically so fantastical, it is just fantasy. So space opera, basically. You know, Star Wars has more in common with Lord of the Rings than it does with, you know, what's a classic sci-fi film?
Blade Runner.
Sure. Yeah. And then Alien, again, it's classic horror, really, but just set in the future. It's not really sci-fi in the same in the same regard, well, but it's equally brilliant.
I like ones that have... they sort of ask a lot more questions, don't they? I think that's... The sci-fi at its best is sort of almost a branch of philosophy, I suppose you could say.
Yeah, it explores... the dark corners of human nature by going, what if this were possible, then what would we do?
Yeah, and dystopias and stuff like that. So I really love Blade Runner for that, and other famous ones, Logan's Run, you know, that's a really great, that's a one where the idea just sells the whole film. You've got such a brilliant idea, the whole thing's set up for you.
Yeah, Silent Running we've talked about recently as well, about man's destructive nature, how most people are dicks, basically, is the theme of Silent Running. What do I look for in a sci-fi? You know what, there is something about just the sheer imagination of it that is great. I mean, yes, at its heart, Blade Runner is sort of a philosophical question of existence, and would a synthetically created people be allowed to existence? But the world is what draws you in, you know, the visuals of the just that dystopian city landscape and the massive skyscraper and the opulence of that penthouse suite that he goes to visit, the Weyland-Yutani Corporation, and yet it is still somehow horrible, like you wouldn't really want to live there still, you know.
I think sci-fi is a great opportunity for artists to get, I mean, the famous one is H.R. Giger and Alien. And he was such a massive influence on that film. And that really sets that apart from the whole monster in space.
Well, if you've ever watched the documentary Jodorowsky's Dune about the failed attempt to get Dune made into a film first time around, he was the one who handpicked Geiger as the guy to do the visuals. And it didn't end up getting made, but then lots of other younger directors were like, yeah, that's a good idea, I'll nick him, or I'll nick that, or I'll nick that. Really interesting documentary if you've not seen it. But no, you're right. So often in these films, the storytelling can be bullshit, but the art department often these days don't put a foot wrong. You know, there's so much good art in the creation of environments and props and costumes and landscapes and music as well.
Yeah. Moon is another one I really liked as well.
Yeah.
I just think when it's done at its best, when the idea is, you just take an abstract idea and put it into an odd world, it can be really fascinating. And that's why I sort of enjoy sci-fi. I don't enjoy the Star Wars sort of fair, you know, just battling monsters and shoot 'em ups as much.
Right.
I think the alien. I mean, how can you get better than Alien and Aliens? It's hard to.
But
do
Aliens is a shoot 'em up monster.
But that's a brilliant one, though.
Yeah.
Because you've got the whole. The good thing about that is you've got this whole backstory.
Yes.
Thanks to Alien.
Well, I am a fan of space opera, but only, as I've talked about repeatedly on this podcast, only when the characters are the front and centre. That is what it's about. It's about these characters going through this and who they are and all of that. When they get paid lip service, these things do bore me. Mm. I've got my tickets to Rogue One, which I was brought up on Star Wars. I will
watch
it.
What is Rogue One about then?
Rogue One is about... it's set before Star Wars A New Hope, the original film, but literally bumper to bumper with it. So it is about the rebels stealing the Death Star plans in the first place. So it's a whole new cast of characters, apart from Darth Vader will inevitably appear because he's still alive around that time. But seems to be, from the trailers, about the daughter of the man who designed the Death Star. Played by what's her name?
A brief
Felicity of, Jones.
Yes,
it just appeared in my mind.
A brief history of time. She's in.
That's it.
And she's very good.
Yeah. Well, she's the new lead in this one. But the visuals look great. I mean, they actually go into Gareth Edwards is directing it, and he's to make it feel like it's happening at the same time or very close to the original one. They even had to make decisions like, oh shit, everyone needs sideburns, because all of the actors did back then. So all of their characters have to have longer sideburns than they would in a modern film. It's just, that's quite fun.
I wonder if that'll bring sideburns back in.
Maybe it will.
I might get a call to be a Gamorrean guard.
A what?
Gamorrean guard.
Which were the Gamorrean? Oh yeah, Nick Jabba's palace.
Yeah,
the one that gets eaten by the Rancor.
Hopefully, yeah.
You'd be a good Gamorrean guard.
Thanks, mate.
Or the Rancor keeper. You know, the guy with his shirt off who weeps when the Rancor gets killed.
I think you might get both of these. You've done two good auditions.
Anyway, I'm actually going to be talking about Star Wars in the film I watched, so we'll get on to that.
Oh God. here's another letter.
Yep.
It's from Martin Schofield. Subject, movies. Well, come to the right good. Place. Hi, Dave, American buddy. Just wanted to drop you a line to recommend my favourite movie, the 1974 thriller The Parallax View, starring Warren Beatty. This film is available on Netflix, and I think you would really like it, and I'd love to hear your reviews. This film, like The Conversation, treats its audience as adults, and one scene, which is almost wordless, will blow you away. It's so intense. Apologies for the shit email. I have two young children and I'm very tired. Oh, please could you read this out in the voice of the comedian you secretly think is telling this? I'm just reading out my
own
voice.
Advice.
Oh, thanks, Martin. Who watched the film with Martin? I saw The Paradox View about 15 years ago.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
It's in that 70s, a bit like The Conversation, all those sort of conspiracy films.
Yeah.
Before some network and that thing where, you know, there's a whole sort of conspiracy of this sort of under some weird world order or something that Warren Beatty exposes. It's odd seeing Warren Beatty as he was, you know, he was the really good looking star, you know, the beautiful man. He was supposed to be the person who that song You're So Vain was about, wasn't he?
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. The Parallax View, I'm just looking up now to remind myself, as my brain is adult, yeah. A presidential candidate is assassinated, and Warren Beatty, who plays a reporter, thinks that this Parallax Corporation is involved. So, and he finds out lots of, there's a big sort of, you know, because it's a bit like the Masons conspiracy that he's going on, but it's really 70s, and it's got loads of cool set pieces in it. I can't remember if it was any good or not. I'll have to watch it again. But at the time, I remember enjoying it. If you fancy a slice of the 70s, watch the Parallax for you, all right?
All right.
See if you like it, all right?
Yeah. Well, I watched a film this week as well, and as I briefly mentioned earlier, it does have a sideways connection with Star Wars. It is called Elstree 1976, and this is a Talking Heads documentary, basically, about the people who either were extras on the original Star Wars, or you never saw their faces. So the guys who... So it basically goes around a guy who played several people in the background, including X-Wing pilots and, medal givers in the medal ceremony.
As in one of the parts in the original... One of the seven that take
Yeah. He's an extra, so he doesn't speak at all. So he's just in the briefing room, and they show you which one he is, and then you see him now. And they talk about their lives. Anyway... there's him, there's the stormtrooper who says, these aren't the droids we're looking for, move along, that guy. There's the guy who plays Boba Fett, and David Prowse as well, who was famously the guy who played Darth Vader before they overdubbed him with James Earl Jones. So it's his body in the suit, and he did all of the lines beforehand. So it's actually a documentary about this tiny part of all of these people's lives, and you learn about their lives, but how hugely influential it has been for the rest of their lives, despite the fact they barely did anything, you know. And it's a really quite sweet documentary to watch. Like, it's really interesting just to see the mundanity of how they can still go to comic cons and stuff and charge 10, 15 quid for a signed photo or whatever, and this be their main source of income when they were one guy in the background of a shot in Star Wars, you know, and how this still to this
and
day...
And that's their main job?
For a lot of them. Some of them have turned their back on it all, but, you know. Dave Prowse, for instance, was... he's a really weird-looking... boss-eyed Cornish bloke. He's like 6'4 or something.
Yeah.
And he wanted to be Mr. Universe, but he was told very early on that his feet were too fucked up. He'll never be Mr. Universe because they've got bunions and stuff. Like, and he is sort of a legend amongst Star Wars fans because he signs signatures, Dave Prowse is Darth Vader. And to hear him talk about it, it's sort of so beautifully tragic because he describes it as... Well, he is Darth Vader. He played Darth Vader. And he said to George, what are we going to do about all these lines? Because I'm wearing the helmet, so they're all muffled. The microphone can't hear them. And he said, well, don't worry. We'll be doing ADR afterwards, you know. Blah, blah, blah. And George goes back to LA. And, of course, they've forgotten to do the ADR. So it ended up cheaper getting anyone to voice Darth Vader than actually flying me, Darth Vader, over to LA. And he says this like he truly believes
it.
And then you watch...
What's his voice like?
You watch the clips of him filming these famous scenes, the shots that ended up in the film, and he's like, tear this ship apart! I want those plans! And find the princess! I want her alive! And he's just like, it just doesn't work! The idea that they ever thought that this was the voice is clearly a complete nonsense. But to this day, he believes it was just sort of convenient that they got James Earl Jones to do it instead.
Wow.
And you know, and that is his main income, is doing conventions.
I can understand that,
you know.
But the other people... I mean, who are the people who will pay these people for their signatures?
Oh, there's thousands and thousands of them, you know.
I need to somehow get them to give me money.
Well, you need to be in a Star Wars film in the background.
I need to tap into this. If Gareth Edwards is listening to this, can I be a man in the background in Star Wars, please?
That'd be good. Our friend of the show, Tom Bell, is in the background of Force Awakens.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, yeah. He got involved in that. He's in the... What's she called? Maz... His tavern thing. Playing chess or something.
As a monster?
You barely see him, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, he got the job because he worked on a thing called Wizards vs. Aliens, which is a spin-off of Doctor Who on kids' TV that involves him doing full character prostheses stuff.
Yeah.
So, because they were filming in Britain, in Pinewood, I think, they got local Londoners who had experience with full character makeup, because it's a grueling day, and they didn't want people who complain, you know. So they just got that whole team wholesale brought into Star Wars. Very exciting, to be honest. I mean, if you're a kid of the 80s and then getting to be in it, I mean, it's great. But no, it's quite a sweet little documentary.
Is it on Netflix then, or is it?
I got it on the BFI player, which annoyingly isn't actually available on games consoles yet. They've not worked that out. So, because I watch most of my stuff through my Xbox on Netflix and other streaming services, I had to watch this on my computer. But the BFI player is actually good. It's got lots of more interesting films, you know, not just the usual sugar-coated fare that we're being spoon-fed all the time. You know, there's actual stuff they've handpicked. So it's well worth a look. But no, I thought this was... There's not a huge amount of sort of unique footage, as in that's sort of what you would be hoping for behind the scenes,
because
not much was shot, you know.
But that's before iPhones.
It is really interesting just seeing these guys talk about their lives, and then you see this same, the footage of the same guy who's an extra in Indiana Jones of the Last Crusade, and then there he is with James Caan in Rollerball, and you just see him every time, just in these little shots, just in the background. And they talk to the stormtrooper who banged his head on the door as well. He's one of them, and he's now famous as the stormtrooper who banged his head, and people will get his signature because he's the stormtrooper who banged his head. The fact he fucked up is the reason that he is now more famous than some of the other extras.
I think that's a moral to that story.
Make sure you really fuck up on all professional jobs. That's the moral.
And then in 20 years' time, people want your autograph.
Yeah. No, but it's interesting. And for Star Wars fans, it's truly sort of quite heartwarming. Because it's none of these guys are famous, you know. Not really. Dave Prowse is the most famous, and only because he was...
Are they all mental? Because all the extras I've worked with are totally mental.
You know what? The most mental, actually, is... the guy who is a proper actor who played they talked to Greedo as well, the guy who played Greedo. No, but the one who is the stormtrooper who says these aren't the droids you're looking for, because he's a proper actor, he's appeared in Judge Dredd and stuff like that, and he is genuinely a bit jealous and pissed off that the extras can sit next to him at conventions and get the same amount of money for signatures as he can, when he had a line and he was credited. You don't see his face in the film, but he seems a bit bitter. But the others, you know, they all seem just sort of nice, lovely guys, really. Just like, yeah, that was part of my life. Yeah.
So is it worth watching? Just, if you don't like Star Wars, is this worth watching?
There is a human drama in there. It's slight. It's a slight, gentle, and yet quite compelling human drama. Just seeing snapshots of people's lives, of all these disparate, different people, and how they got into it, and how weird it was, and what it's done to their life, and how they've moved on afterwards. You know, it's got an anthropological interest as well as just for Star Wars fans.
How many, David?
I'd give it 6. I think it's not going to blow anyone's mind, but it is quite engaging.
Well,
there you go. That's it for this week. We're a bit light on letters, so if you'd like to write to us, then go to filmfandango.com and fill out the form there, and we'll get that. Also, we do all of this for free, so if you'd like to donate towards our running costs, and to everyone who has, thank you very much for doing so, you can go to filmfandango.com as well and click the donate button. We continue doing this purely because you donate, so thank you very much. We'll be back next week, will we?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay. Keep watching the films.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.